thanks for joining us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and it's time to take a quick look at the wonderful world of Wisconsin wildlife. Scott Craven with us by phone today. He stops by every so often to talk about what's going on in the world of wildlife. We can talk about the deer hunt, colder temperatures and how they may have affected wildlife, and of course answer your wildlife questions, and I hope you'll join in. I do want to tell you for just this half hour, we have a $2,500 challenge grant from super fans from Whitewater, Wisconsin. It's great. They're, so every buck you put in the till today means that you're actually doubling what you give. So I hope you'll think about that, and I hope you'll call at 888-202-2552. Make that contribution, or go to WPR.org and make that contribution. It's only until 12:30 today that you have time to double your money here. And Scott Craven with us now by phone. Scott, you're somewhere. Where are you, Scott?
Well, I'm sitting under a cell tower in my truck on the bluffs in Dubuque overlooking the Mississippi River. I'm on my way back from, I left Lincoln, Nebraska this morning, and on my way home in general from an elk hunting trip on the western slope of the Rockies in Colorado.
Wow.
So here I am ready to go.
Well, you were elk hunting. What about the deer hunt this year? When you I think the numbers were, in terms of deer harvested, were larger.
Yeah, there were a couple of interesting things about the deer hunt. For one thing, the harvest was up overall. That's always good news. The weather was very favorable. We had snow in most of the state, and visibility was good. So hunters got out there and harvested some deer. In the southern farmland area, the buck harvest was up substantially, also good news. I think it went down as one of the safest hunts on record. I think there were only three minor incidents, and it was really a very successful hunt in many ways. On the flip side, license sales continued to decline by a few thousand, and that's always of concern to folks interested in our hunting heritage and the future of hunting. The CWD testing using kiosks scattered around the state, at least based on my experience, seemed to work okay. I got to them a couple of times, and there were always people gathered around, and supplies were there to submit the heads for testing. And I got the last test results back a few days ago on a buck my son shot, and fortunately both were negative, no sign of CWD, so that's also good news. Lastly, I guess I would just offer up the comment that there are still deer hunting opportunities to be had coming up very quickly. In fact, I think it's Wednesday. I'm not altogether sure. But the 6th through the 9th, which I think is tomorrow through Sunday, is the statewide antlerless season or doe hunt. And that's an opportunity for folks who maybe had a deer test positive and want to get another one, or just want to get out, weren't successful in the gun season, to still hunt. So that's December 6th to 9th. The archery hunting opportunity will continue until January 6th, but even longer in some of the metro units. And then the holiday hunt will take place from December 24th to January 1st in 19 of our farmland units. The bottom line for anybody interested in continuing to deer hunt, I go to the deer hunting section of the DNR website and make sure you know all the dates and opportunities, and you'll be ready to go.
There we go. And as you listen in to Scott talking and have a question or a comment or maybe an experience, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. We'd love to hear from you. And Harold in Antigo has a question for you, Scott, so let's go there. Hi, Harold.
Oh, early good afternoon, good morning. It's kind of backwards. A good friend has a frequent visit of one or two gray fox, and I know so little about gray fox. And how does that compare in Wisconsin between population and how they act and react compared to our common red fox?
Gray fox.
Gray fox are a beautiful animal. One of our, as far as mid-sized animals go, I think one of the prettiest ones to see. They're distributed throughout the state. They're more of a a woodland or forested species than the red fox, which tends to like open vistas and farmland and mixed woodlots and things like that. They're not as common, so it's not a rare sighting, but it's more of an event to see a gray fox than a red fox. And I think they're perhaps most notable for their ability, differing from the red fox and most members of the dog family, they can actually climb a little bit. So if you see one up on a tree branch, don't be too shocked at that. But they're certainly around. If someone's got them around, they're a conversational issue, a sense of pride, and you can go from there.
What a great, what is the fox, what do they feed on primarily?
Primarily small rodents and other small animal life. In the warmer season, they would take amphibians, reptiles. If they could raid a bird's nest and find some eggs, they'd do that. And they may eat some vegetable or plant material as well, but primarily a few fruits and vegetables out of the garden. But it's mostly animal material and mostly small mammals.
Harold, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. I hope that helped. Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you for calling. And you can join in 1-800-642-1234. Jill told me that you have a new feeder, bird feeder, at your house. Is that right? Tell us about it.
Yes, while I was gone, the squirrel finally figured out that we were putting corn cobs on the squirrely gym, which is kind of a spring-like device, a cable that just hangs in a tree. And there are a couple of eye hooks on the end of it and a little bell, and you screw an ear of cob corn or screw a cob of corn onto each eye hook, onto the threads. And then they dangle down, and you can set it as far as you want from the ground. And then the squirrels get the idea that, oh, there's corn up there. And they leap up, grab the corn, and then the spring drops them back to the ground and springs them up. If they hang on, they go up and down a few times. The bell rings. It's more for entertaining the feeder than it is for the squirrel. They seem to be working over the corn pretty hard the last few days, so I've been plotting an opportunity to get a few ears of corn when I get back. And it brings up the whole feeder thing, especially as we're coming up quickly on the Christmas season, the holiday season. Bird feeding is still about the most popular interaction of people with wildlife. And all the related supplies to bird feeding, a new feeder, field guides, optics, seeds or a gift certificate for seeds, seed jugs to fill your feeders, all those kinds of things make wonderful holiday gifts and, you know, keep people feeding the birds. This time of year, it's important to keep those feeders full, keep them clean, and keep them in view where you can enjoy the rewards of your feeding.
Good points. And what birds are coming to your feeder?
Well, for whatever reason, it seems to be a great year for woodpeckers. And maybe the listeners may chime in on this, but I've had more woodpeckers at the feeders of all species than I think I have ever had before. Lots of downies and hairies, a beautiful pair of red bellies. And I'm trying to think if we had anything else. That's probably the bulk of it at this point, but lots of woodpeckers. Yeah, all of our normal migrant birds have long left for the south, so the grosbeaks and things like that are long gone. But winter residents are active, of course, birds that are here all year. And then some of the northern species have worked their way down through the state. The juncos have been around for a while, and I assume people, if they're not already, starting to see siskins and redpolls and evening grosbeaks and things like that. So far, so good as far as bird feeding goes.
Yeah, I was thinking, as you were talking about migration, I was thinking about, it seemed like we had a pretty cold weather earlier than normal. Did it? Was there any impact at all with the cold weather on our wildlife?
Oh, I don't know. It may have sent a few birds out a little quicker than normal as far as the migration's concerned, but the cold weather is more of a problem when we have snow cover that covers food, makes it difficult to get at. But with generally low or not persistent snow cover, it probably hasn't been a big deal yet.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All the prognosticators were talking earlier in the fall about, well, everything looks like it's going to be a mild winter and relatively precipitation-free. And here we seem to be on our way to the wettest year in recorded history. And it's been pretty darn cold, too. So we'll just have to see how it plays out. The good news is that even though we may, as people, feel somewhat sorry looking out the window, oh, my gosh, that poor possum or that poor bird or whatever is out there in the cold. But the reality is these animals are adapted to, the ones that stay, are adapted to winter conditions and have strategies for avoiding them. So usually they get through okay.
You've been doing some lectures for conservation leaders for tomorrow, that organization. Tell us about that organization.
Well, that was the group actually that was involved in this elk hunt that I was just on. My job was to mentor one of our students from Conservation Leaders for Tomorrow, who was awarded an elk hunt by the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. And she, by the way, did get an elk, so that worked out pretty well. But the program overall has some of its history based right here in Wisconsin at the university, but also at other schools around the country. It was designed to provide an opportunity for students in the natural resources disciplines who had no prior experience or understanding of hunting and its role in conservation and wildlife management because they had never hunted. It was designed to give them an opportunity to learn about hunting, to learn about firearms and firearm safety, and then to go on a closely mentored, usually a pheasant hunt, some type of bird hunt, so that they could try it firsthand and then decide for themselves what they thought of the whole situation. And since the start of that, back in the 1990s here, it became a national program in 2004. We're now up over, it must be close to 120 or more week-long workshops around the United States. And it's also expanded to provide the same opportunities for professional wildlife managers, researchers, and administrators in state and federal agencies who, like the students, have never been exposed to hunting personally. And it's been, for me, it's just been a tremendously rewarding opportunity to kind of bring these people into the fold. We're not necessarily trying to recruit them as hunters. If that floats their boat and they go on hunt, great. But that's not really the primary purpose of the program. We just feel or felt, the founding fathers, so to speak, felt that people involved in regulating our natural resources or calling the shots on management should understand that hunting is an important component of wildlife management and a major contributor of funding for conservation. And it's really worked out great. We get lots of comments that the program has changed their life, changed their approach to how they do their job, things like that that kind of make you feel good.
Scott, have you heard anything about putting ruffed grouse on the endangered species list?
Yes, people shouldn't panic as far as Wisconsin's concerned. This proposal is in states like Indiana, for example, where they really have suffered some pretty serious declines, but we're realistically probably on the fringe of their normal biological range anyway. So while it's a serious thing in those states that are under consideration, not in the major grouse states like Minnesota and Wisconsin and Michigan and out east Pennsylvania and New York State and so forth. We have our own set of problems, as we've talked about on the show before, in that our grouse population seems to be behaving in a numerical way kind of opposite what we would have expected at this point in their cyclic population behavior. So there's concern here about what's going on and whether things like West Nile virus may be an issue or not. We're not going to know much about that, Larry, until the results of this season, which is still going on, are in as far as hunter harvest and hunter observations, and then the testing that the agencies are doing for the West Nile issue.
There we go.
The idea that grouse may be an endangered species should not cause a panic in Wisconsin.
There we go. Scott Craven, our guest today, emeritus professor in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Well, I'm always pleased to see Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio, stop by, and he's stopping by because we got a pretty good deal going here in the last 9 minutes of the show as we talk about our year-end membership drive, your chance to support the programs you count on every day from the Ideas Network, programs that keep you in touch, informed, and interested. And your gift right now, it gets to double, as a matter of fact. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. It's so important. We really look forward to a great end of the year, and we're looking forward to 2019, aren't we, Mike?
We are. We've got lots of great plans, and let's go right to that challenge because we have just this brief break. $2,500 will be matched by your contributions. We've had that first contribution of $240 come in, so we're hoping that you can get to the phone or to your web page right now. The phone number is 888-202-2552, or you can go to WPR.org to make your contribution and help to get your pledge doubled right now.
And that pledge comes from folks who wanted to be called WPR superfans from Whitewater, Wisconsin. Thank you so much for that challenge grant. And that first person who contributed $240, that turned into $480 for that person. And I tell you what, we're listener powered, and that means that these goals are important. And because of our programming today, we wanted to bring you the special programming about the celebration of President George H.W. Bush's life. We're in a little shorter time period than we normally would be, Mike.
Yeah, that's okay because
that's
we're
all right.
Glad to bring you the broadcasting that matters. You know, for years you've heard us say on the Ideas Network, it's talk about issues that matter to you. And so we're glad to be here. And here's an issue that matters. You want Wisconsin Public Radio, the Ideas Network, to be strong. You can help. And this is why it's important. The biggest slice of funding for public radio right here in Wisconsin is listener support. And yes, there are other funding sources. There's some money from the state and federal government and businesses from the area, which is terrific. But your contribution makes a huge difference. It's an amazing service, the Ideas Network is. That's thanks to your support. So make the pledge now and be matched by that super fan from Whitewater, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
After all, it's the season of giving, and you're doing two good things when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio today. Your donation will support the programs you rely on. You can ask for one of our food bank gifts. There are options available at $10 and $20 a month, or one-time gifts of $120 or $240. Food donations will be given in your region of the state where you live when you make that donation. And you're doubling your donation if you can pledge in the next 5.5 minutes or so. So why not do it right now? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You know, Larry, there's this concept of a life coach or an executive coach, different kind of coaches. Most of us don't have them, but you might think of the Ideas Network as your life coach because you can find out whether it's finding out about what's going on with nature and hunting or how to fix your computer or what's going on in politics. You find all of it right here on the Ideas Network. And that's at no cost unless, and we hope this will be the case, you contribute to it by being a member. You choose the amount and then make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as a donor, you get to decide how much to give. You know, maybe it's $10 a month, but maybe it's $100 or $200 a month. Maybe that's the right amount for
you. Yeah, you think about the things you spend that much on, maybe going out to dinner once or twice, or if you get a really affordable restaurant, maybe 3 or 4 times. But you spend that kind of money on things that you enjoy, things that make life better, just like listening to WPR. So decide right now. Help us to meet that $2,500 match right now from the superfan, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I would tell you the same thing. I'd say the same thing. I'd say go to WPR.org, or I'd say phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution in support of the programs. You count on Larry Mueller with Mike Crane, raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs you enjoy on the air. And again, if you pledge $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift. And we've raised $560 of that $2,500 match total. So there's still almost $2,000 to go, and I don't want to lose that money. So if you haven't given, this next 3 minutes would be really great for you to do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And maybe you have someone who remembers listening to WPR as a child, maybe even before we called it WPR, or maybe your kids really enjoy certain programs.
And whether it's an interesting story, maybe it's on NPR News, maybe it's a piece of music or laughing along with some of our weekend shows, WPR caught your imagination as a kid, and it engages the mind today.
Yep, and you make that all possible when you participate as a member. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now we've raised $1,000 of that $2,500 total.
Let's keep going.
So we have $1,500 to go. You can help make this happen in the next couple of minutes. We'll have to go away in a minute or so. But in the meantime, think about what's important to you about Wisconsin Public Radio. Think about this show. Think about the other shows and all of the great programming we have. And think about how you want to support it. And think about how much, and we don't care how much, but we want you to do it right now. Call 888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org and make your contribution.
We're hearing from all over the state. It's wonderful. Suzanne from Downing simply says, love Larry. And we do love Larry. And Robert from Clear Lake says, I listen to WPR every day. I go to bed listening every night. I learn new things every day, and I appreciate the unbiased news. Terrific to hear from you.
Help out right now. Call WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.